you doing? It's Paddy here, and I hope you're doing all right today. Thank you for downloading. It's not all about me, Emmy. It's not whatever way you want to read that. Whenever you read it in your head, thank you for downloading it. Regardless, very much appreciate it. This is the fourth episode, and you know, I'm already getting from the first three episodes some very pleasant and positive feedback from people within the ME community and beyond, from all over the world. So thank you very much. Before we get started with this week's episode, I just want to, as I should every week, point out that the music at the beginning and the end of the show is Feeling Sunny by Scott Holmes, and that's from the Free Music Archive. So if you like that little ditty, then that's where you can get it. The Free Music Archive, Feeling Sunny by Scott Holmes. And if you want to get in touch like some of the other people have, who I will give a shout out to in a minute, you can reach me on Twitter at @ZeroAllAboutMe. Or email at itsreallynotallaboutme@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook now, a Facebook page. It's Not All About Me. So if you find it and follow it, then things would happen. Magical things that, you know, we can't even imagine at this point. You know, things spectacular. It's Facebook, you know. So, so a few people have been in touch to say good luck with the show and on Twitter at ME Joe Best. Thank you very much, Joe. Terry Greenlee at Greenlee Terry. Thank you, Terry. And Christina at Christina for Hope. So get in touch via Twitter, direct message me. And if you want to come on the show, which a few people have, I've got a few interviews lined up now for the next few weeks that will take us into the new year. Please get in touch, because I really want this to be a collection of experiences and not just my own experience, especially as we look at what we're going to talk about today. I think it's going to be, and especially if you look at episode 2, where I talked about my symptoms, right? People have got in touch with me who I invited to come on the show, and they can't come on the show because they're too unwell. You know, some people can't use a telephone. Some people just, you know, they wouldn't have the processing power to come on and talk on their phone to me for 25 minutes or whatever. And I can really appreciate that. And there's a lot of days where I wouldn't have the power to turn on the microphone either. It's a struggle. And whenever the microphone goes off, whenever the little red light goes off, I'm exhausted for the rest of the day. And that's about, what, 25 minutes of talking. So I could totally appreciate that. But what that really says to me as well, what it really reminds me is, first, obviously, to be grateful. Always begin the episodes with that and end it. I am grateful. I'm very grateful that you're listening to me now. And I'm very grateful that I'm able to speak now into the little microphone on the desk in the office. And I'm not in bed all day. I'm incredibly grateful for that. I really am. But that's not other people's experience with this illness, is it? It won't always be my experience. As we discussed before, it might go up, it might go down, it might stay the same. So little is known, and I know so little about my own illness, you know, that I can't possibly speak for anybody else, which is why I really want other people to come on and share their experiences, you know. So if you have the energy, and there's absolutely, we are, obviously we're talking about ME here, so I am so flexible. If you want to come on the show, you want to talk, you want to talk for 10 minutes, you want to talk for 5 minutes, you want to talk for an hour, come on the show if you can. But it's, you know, it's very easy to work around whichever symptoms you're experiencing at the moment, you know. So don't let that put you off if you do feel a drive to come and share your story, because, you know, we are the millions missing, and it'd be nice to have some of the millions heard, I think, and not just me. Because it's not all about me. There we go. Boom. Thank you. Right, so what are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about coping strategies. Now, what I mean by that is what is working for me to mean that I can sit up in this chair today with the red light on. What have I tried in the past? What's my experience around what's been suggested with how to deal with the illness of ME? And I've already scheduled some time in the future after we do a few, have a few people on the show. So it's not just me for 10 episodes. After I have a few people on the show, I'll return to talking about it from a very medical standpoint, whatever that means. That is an episode I gotta say I've been putting off. Because I have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about. And that makes me quite sad in that I've got this illness and I know sweet FA about it. And I read a lot of contradictory stuff. I read a lot of foggy stuff, imprecise things. Isn't that mad that so many of us have this illness that... And I still don't have the confidence to find information on this illness that I could say I could confidently do a 25-minute show on the science and the doctors on this. But I will do a show on that. Maybe it'll be about differing doctors' opinions. Because I have, that's probably a good place to start whenever we talk about dealing with the illness and coping with the illness from my experience. Whenever I first got diagnosed, which is about 4 or 5 years ago now, after probably at least that, but quite possibly double that of the symptoms. I finally got diagnosed thanks to an organization I was working for at the time, having a kind of, as part of your employee package, you had a private medical option. And I was probably, you know, forced to go for that option because my attendance record was so poor that it was maybe suggested to me that I look into this service that was part of my employee package. And boy, I'm really glad I did, because between them and the local doctors, I was living in Oxfordshire in England at the time. And between my local doctor there in Oxfordshire and these private medical guys, they both verified each other's findings and concluded that a diagnosis of ME CFS should be placed upon me. So as soon as I get this diagnosis and the shock and all that, which I talked about in episode one, passes, well, it was right, okay, now I know the name of my illness, let's get down to work now. How do I deal with this illness? And boy, I wasn't prepared for what kind of a journey that would be. But I went along. Luckily, where I lived in Oxfordshire, there was a specialist there, and in ME, I believe. And again, this is where I'm really, I'm quite nervous about talking about anything. I have no confidence to speak with any kind of authority regarding the medical areas around ME. I just don't. I haven't done sufficient research, which again you'd think was odd because I have had the illness for quite a long time. I realize that I haven't had confidence in the research out there. I haven't had confidence to do the research to have the confidence to talk about the thing with confidence. Does that make sense? I maybe a bit. I hope so. Anyway, so the thing I discover when talking to doctors and doing a little bit of independent research from my own whenever I got the illness was, okay, so at the time, and this is 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, there was a big push for the graded exercise therapy and counselling. As a combination, they said this is the way to deal with ME, and I can feel some of you getting angry out there already because this is since... by swathes of people being dismissed as not only incorrect but quite dangerous. But again, let's try and keep that stuff. I will try keep that stuff for the new year when I talk about it from the medical point of view. This is just my experience. That's all I'm sharing today. And I will try not to put too much of a judgment on it either, you know, because I don't know enough to criticize people for their suggestions on how to deal with this, you know. And at this point also, I have to say, I was and I remain willing to try anything to get my life back. You know, I don't care if 99% of people have dismissed it and poo-pooed it. If there's a 1% chance that it might work for me, because our illnesses take such different forms and shapes and symptoms and consequences, that 1% might work for me. So I'm going to try everything. You know, that's my attitude to this illness. I'm going to try. If there's a chance it might slightly improve things and give me a bit of my life back, I'm going to try it. You know, I'm going to give it a good college try. So I tried the graded exercise therapy, and I tried the counseling. They weren't successful. I gave them a good try. The counseling I found was, I've had the opportunity to have counseling in the past. I'm grateful for that. And this was not what I expected when I walked in with what I understand to be a physical illness. It was suggested to me that it may be a manifestation of emotions caused by negative feelings and resentments against things that happened in childhood or family members and that sort of thing. That didn't really sit with me, and I was so disappointed when I left the counselors that day, because I thought, I got an illness, I got a diagnosis, right? What's next? Cure. Boom. So I was so full of hope to find out that there was somebody in my local area who was praised and lauded as an expert in this magical illness that I had. How cool was that? How lucky I was. So to go along and speak to these people and then to be, you know, told that my physical illness that had dominated my life for a decade or more, that had caused me to leave work, a job that I loved so very much, to change my whole life, was, you know, a physical manifestation of emotions that, to be honest, I didn't think did. I thought the guy was reaching, maybe taking things that I had offered him and make building something that I'm not quite sure he had the blueprints for. That was so disappointing. So that was my first experience of coping with me, of what strategies I could use. And that was not a success. And I know there have been trials there, and we'll talk about this in the new year. And especially whenever we get some people who feel more qualified and confident to speak about it than I am, we'll talk about the trials and all this kind of thing in the new year. But for now, all I'll say is my experience of what was then the recommended treatment was not good. And I think that reflects a lot of people's experience as well. So the grid exercise therapy, though, appealed to me. And I remember when I was at my worst and couldn't get out of bed and was just a sweaty, confused, broken mess for most of the day. My wife at the time had just finished a half marathon, you know, and I was absolutely delighted by that. And I, with that kind of occasional burst of angry, stubborn ambition that can strike us all, and it's not always a good thing, I have learned, you know, I said, screw it, in 6 months I'm going to run a marathon. Because of course I'm lying up in bed and I can't move and I'm a sweaty mess and I can't think. that's that kind of part of me that says, you know what, I'm not gonna do things bit by bit by bit. I'm gonna run a marathon because I can't get out of bed. So that's logical, right? And to be fair, the next day I got out of bed and I started the Couch to 5K. The app, the podcast, wherever you find it, I think it's absolutely fantastic. I recommend it to all my friends who want to get a little bit fit or want to take up running who may or may not have ME. I recommend it because I started that Couch to 5K and it was really tough, but I made it my sole focus in my life. I didn't have anything else, no job, no responsibilities. So I made this my sole focus, just getting up, putting on trainers and going out, and doing whatever it is at the start. Walk for 3 minutes, jog for 30 seconds, whatever it is, and then build it up. And I built it up and to 5K. And from that, I went straight on to training for a marathon. And my wife and I would go out 3 times a week. And on the other days, I was knackered. I was dead. I couldn't do anything, But on those days, I just summoned the will, the stubborn, angry will to get up and just do that. Just do that. And I did it. And in March of 2016, my wife and I finished the Rome Marathon, which to this day is one of my best achievements, and of course would be whether I had ME or not. I finished across the finish line at the Colosseum in Rome, with my wife holding her hand, and that was a wonderful, wonderful thing. And the next day, picked up the phone, called my old job, and said I want to come back to work. And they said, we're delighted to hear that, because I felt if I can run a marathon, I can work, And they set up all sorts of really, really helpful conditions for me. I could basically work at my own pace. There was no pressure. It was contracted work. I could just kind of, submit stuff as and when. And then there was a fair amount of travel as well, because at this point I live in Ireland and the job was in England, so I traveled quite a bit, almost every 2 weeks. But for a little while it went okay. I was talking about coping. I continued the running, but also whenever I was working, I found more and more increasingly I was living off stimulants to keep me going throughout the day, like coffee or Pepsi or nicotine. So it wasn't a real energy I had. None of this was real, and that's what I come to realize was that I did run the marathon. That was real. And that's fantastic. But thereafter, the having a sus trying to sustain normal living, it was completely false the way I was doing it. It wasn't real. It was manufactured energy. It wasn't real natural energy. And I would crash, So that lasted for about a year, actually. And then I crashed again and had to stop. And that kind of brings us to about a year ago now. So, exercise did help me. We can't say it didn't. Couch to 5K and training for a marathon and running a marathon did help because I was able to do it. But it didn't have any lasting effect. And it didn't make. I was able to get up and go for a run, but that didn't mean I was able to get up and work or reply to emails or fly to a meeting in London or, spend a whole day taking phone calls from people around the country. I wasn't able to do that. All it meant was I was able to get up and run, and that's wonderful, that especially because I was doing it with my wife. So the feeling of achievement, of satisfaction, of and obviously, the endorphins, the chemicals, and all that's brilliant. But that's all it was. I know that now was that I was able to get up and run. And you may say, well, if you can get up and you can run, then you can get up and work. But that's not the case. It takes a whole different the energy, the processing power required for me to reply to an email in a timely fashion or be present to take a phone call at 3 o'clock on a Friday, I don't have that. I don't have that. I rarely have that. It's not that I might not have it. That's a very rare thing. So I can't, the inconsistency of symptoms and energy levels mean that while I could go for a jog and run, and I recommend it to anybody, it's lovely, it makes you feel good, but it doesn't actually, for me, make a difference in the grand scheme of things. And that's what I've realized. And it was also a bit mad, wasn't it? Running a marathon. That's that all or nothing attitude that I have. I'm very aware of that. What am I doing now that's different? Well, I've said before, if I have a little bit of energy, I will go for a run. My wife and I just finished doing Couch to 5K again. So I can run half an hour now if I've got the energy, or if I do that whole stubborn, well, I'm just going to do that, screw the rest of the week, And I kind of think that's okay because if the rest of the week is a write-off anyway, then why not for a little while feel good? But this is the thing, as you're probably getting the idea now, I'm not really, I haven't nailed this. I haven't nailed it one bit. I'm really not sure. And I've said before, this podcast is as much for me than it is for you. Because I want people to come on and be like, geez, Paddy, that is really stupid. What you might want to think doing is this. So that's why come on and tell me what you do so I don't, just repeat history. And, I'm here in 4 years' time because I'll tell you the truth, I don't want to be here in 4 years' time. It might be what my illness has planned. Sure as heck isn't what I've got planned. That's the bottom line. That's why I try all these things. That's why I'm angry, stubborn, and ambitious, is because I'm not intending to be here in 4 years' time. I intend to be out living my life again. I'm not going to be missing. I'm determined, absolutely determined. So I will try absolutely anything that might help me get there. I just haven't honed that down yet. Having said that, I'm getting better at small steps and accepting that some days, or sorry, over a month, the momentum will not always go up. And that's, I guess, what something like graded exercise therapy, couch to 5K, training for a marathon, that's what that almost instills that thought in you that it's an upward momentum. This week I can run for 1 minute, next week I run for 2 minutes, the next week I run for 3 minutes. But that's not what the illness is like, is it? It's up and down, and I've finally accepted that it'll be up and down. So it's not always going to be an upward trajectory, highway to health, So I'm trying to implement small changes, but at the same time, accept that there will be weeks where that will take a few steps backwards, and that's fine because jeepers, I've got ME. That's, that admission, that acceptance. Boy, maybe we'll spend a whole episode on acceptance sometime in the future because it's so damn hard, or it has been for me, to accept this illness because I am stubborn and ambitious and selfish and angry and my acceptance has improved, but there's always, I think, more I can do. I just don't know where the balance stands between acceptance and I feel that total acceptance in some way relates or equates to total giving in. And I don't want that. So I'm not willing to 100% accept because I'm not willing to 100% give up. So I'm somewhere in the middle at the moment. That's where I am. I hope that makes sense to you. I've got a feeling it probably does. So at the moment, what am I doing? Whenever I first got diagnosed, the doctor recommended one of the treatments or one something that wouldn't do any harm, let's say, both doctors, that I lose a bit of weight. I should say I lose a fair amount of weight. 4 years later, I'm finally doing that. So I ran, you know, I was willing to run a marathon, but to put down the cheesy chips and pizza, nah. Hell, I didn't even quit smoking completely when I was doing marathon training. You know, I have now, but I didn't then. So I've started losing weight. In the last month, I've lost 10 pounds. So I'm very happy with that. I can't say, again, it's made a major difference. I track my health. I track my my illness every 2 weeks using a scale that is in the MECFS, PVFS, an exploration of the key clinical issues by Doctors Shepherd and Choudhury, produced by the ME Association. I got that whenever I joined the ME Association. In it, on page 59, there is a very useful little guide of what percentage your illness is at the moment. And I do that every 2 weeks. So losing 10 pounds, I haven't seen, it hasn't changed. I've still, like 2 weeks ago, I had a whole week where I was totally unproductive. I did nothing. You know, it was a sofa week, absolutely nothing. So I want to lose another maybe 20 pounds, because that's what the doctors recommended 4 years ago. And I think if I give myself that shot, it's not going to do any harm, and it might just do me some good. Well, it will do me good, obviously, you know. So I'm eating healthy. I'm, you know, eating much more fruit and vegetables, and I've cut out chocolate and treats and takeaway and that sort of thing. I'm doing that. I've also downloaded an app, which I really like. I don't know what you'll think, but it's an app called Fabulous, which you'll find on the the App Store on your Apple phone, and probably for, I don't know if it's on Android as well, but it's about implementing small changes and making them habits. And as a result, you know, I'm starting every morning with a big glass of water to rehydrate. And that's a simple thing. And I already drank a lot of water, but it's making it a habit. Then I eat a healthy breakfast. Then I do this and this, and you build up the habits over time, over months. And I'm finding it really good to give myself a little sense of achievement, a little sense of accomplishment and control as well. Because this illness, we feel like we don't have any control a lot of the time, and we don't. But this is a way of maybe giving yourself a little bit of control. So check out the app, Fabulous. I would recommend it. I'm meditating again, which again, just feels good. I think getting a good meditation app. I enjoy the podcast meditation minis, but there's loads out there. Maybe check that. As a result of these things, I'm kind of feeling a bit more in control, a lot more relaxed, a lot more accepting. But having said all that, the same as the running, the same as the couch to 5K, the same as anything else, when I actually look at the tracking, and I don't want to end again another week on a downer, but I look at my tracking where I check out where I'm at every 2 weeks, it hasn't changed that much. It might go up by 10%. It might go up down by 10%. But really, since I started tracking, which is 2.5 years ago, it hasn't really changed that much. So in a sense, and again, jeepers, I didn't realize it was going to end on such a dull note. But what I realized that the stuff I've done, and I've only shared a little bit today, but every day almost, I'm trying to think of some way, something I can introduce, because I almost see my illness as an equation, and I know it's not, but I almost see that it's like, if I could solve this equation, everything will be okay, and I'll get my life back. So I'm always looking for things that if I could do this, and I add this, and I subtract this, equals health. That hasn't been the case yet. But I'm, you know, to leave on a hopeful note, I'm not going to stop trying that, which is why I'm really grateful for the people who have come forward already on email, on Twitter, to share their experiences. And I'm really looking forward to chatting to people on the show about their experiences. Don't we know from the first four episodes, it's not always going to be positive, is it? You know, we haven't had a wholly positive episode yet. That's the case. We have an illness, right? I got to accept this. We do. But it doesn't mean we give up hope. It doesn't mean we give up trying when we can try. And that's the attitude I'm trying to take. So I'm really grateful for people coming forward. And if you listen to this and think, you know, oh, I might try that, then that's grand. If you listen to this and you think, you're crazy, Paddy, you know, read this. This will maybe point you in the right direction. Please send that to me. I need it, clearly. You know, I will try anything, and I need to educate myself better. That's part of the reason why I'm doing this podcast, you know. So please get in touch and share your experience with me, be it positive or negative. I'd be really grateful for that. Finish today with a song. No, I won't. Finish today by saying, talking about trying to live your life whilst, you know, carrying an illness every moment of your life, but try and get on with normal life to some degree. I watched a fantastic documentary a couple of weeks ago, and it's not on ME, but it's on bipolar disorder, and it's about Mauro Ranallo, the sports entertainment sports commentator. He commentates on pro wrestling on NXT, on the WWE network, but he also, you know, commentates on mixed martial arts, major boxing fights, and he has bipolar, and it's called Mauro Ranallo Bipolar Rock and Roller, and it's on, if you're in America, it's on Showtime. On demand. Check his website because I believe it's due to be posted on there for free very soon. If you don't have access to either of those, then there are probably ways of finding it. But I really highly recommend this because it's a very deeply honest documentary that travels with this guy Mauro Ranallo and has total access to him as he carries out his day-to-day job whilst having bipolar disorder, and we see him in his worst times and in his best times, and it gave me a lot of hope and inspiration that, you know, there are hidden illnesses out there, such as ME, such as fibromyalgia, such as bipolar. And we all have different degrees of symptoms at different times, but there are ways of eking out a fulfilling existence and deriving satisfaction regardless or despite or alongside, because we don't always have to be fighting the illness, do we? We just walk alongside it sometimes, and get by. But this really inspired me to continue trying to solve this equation that I have, because the documentary shows this guy Mauro Ranallo at his worst times, but you know he still finds ways to turn up to work and get it done, and have satisfaction in his life. So yeah, I was really grateful for that documentary. So I recommend people seek it out and watch it. Not about Emmy, but you know, we hidden illness folk gotta stick together sometimes, and I think we can derive inspiration from so many sources. You know, it doesn't have to be all about me. Ha! Oh my good Lord, that was purely accidental, but what a great way to end it. Okay. Twitter. Zero all about me. Email, it's really not all about me at gmail.com. Facebook, find the Facebook page and follow it, and we can start conversations on there. Next week, Might do something different next week. I'm not sure about this, but I might. My thoughts are, let me know what you think about this. My thoughts are that last episode, I talked a lot in episode 3 about the emotions, the mental and spiritual consequences and effects of this illness. And I spoke quite a lot about, you know, I projected quite a lot onto my wife and how it must feel to live with somebody who has this illness, from the worry about your loved one to the real honest truth of the pressures of being the sole breadwinner and the responsibilities being on you for a indeterminable amount of time. And I thought a lot about that, and I spoke to my wife and you know, suggested she listen to that episode. And maybe next week, I'm not sure if we'll do this, but maybe next week, let me know what you think. I might hand the mic over to her, so we can get a her perspective in a kind of a similar, honest and open way, if she's up for that. So we'll see if that happens. I mean, either way, I'll chat to you at the beginning of the show next week, maybe the whole show. I don't know. And as I say, we've got quite a few guests lined up as well over the next few weeks as we come into Christmas. So, yeah, thank you so much as always. That's been a little snapshot today. Next week we'll have something else and the journey continues. The back to grabbing the pencil, the paper, and trying to solve this equation, if there is such a thing. Perhaps it might be Fermat's last theorem, which actually was solved, wasn't it? So that's a terrible or hopeful metaphor. I'll leave it there. I'm not sure. Okay. Thank you so much. Have yourselves the best day that you can. I'm Paddy. Take care. Cheers.